Welcome to another episode and another story on Small Town Expectations. My name is Brandy Rose, and with me I have my wonderful partner, Haley Bassing.
Good morning.
Or good day, or whenever you're listening. It's a podcast.
Sure.
It could be in the middle of the night. She's not amused right now. So we want you to know that you can follow us on all social media. We're on Twitter. I'm on Twitter as Rad Brandy, also Facebook Brandy Rose, Instagram Rad Brandy, Snapchat Rad Brandy. And of course, if you need to visit a website, you can visit radbrandy.com. That's where all of the episodes are posted. Just in case, you know, you don't have an iPhone or something like that, you can follow and recommend that other folks listen to the podcast at radbrandy.com. You can email us at brandyrose9@yahoo.com. Let us know that you're interested, and we would love to either just get to know you and hear your story and share your experience with, you know, whoever's listening. Which leads into this next little, hey, you should do this. We are interested in where people are listening from. We understand that, you know, we have a lot of really close friends and family. But just in this last week, there were two people that I don't know them. I know of them through different circles. But they were like, hey, I've been listening to the podcast. And it literally just took me by shock to hear these two people who, I mean, you know, are just everyday kind of people saying that they had listened to a particular episode. And that was really, really cool. And it's also really encouraging to other folks when they come on the podcast. And so if you are listening, you know, in Farmington or in the local area of where we live, let us know. We want to know that stuff too. But especially if you are listening outside of New Mexico or outside of the country, in the world. If you're an alien listening, let us know. We really do. We want to just know where folks are listening from. So last week, we started a fun new adventure where we are talking about communities, and we're highlighting just little sections of communities that are in communities.
Say communities one more time.
Communities. So last week, our community that we highlighted was about the dog trainers in Las Cruces. This week, we want to talk about our own community here in San Juan County and talk about Halloween. You know, just earlier in the week was Halloween, and it was really cool to see all of the people on Facebook posting pictures of their kids. And, you know, that's Facebook is a whole different kind of community that we can highlight another time. But it really, I feel like I liked every single picture that I saw on Facebook on October 31st and November 1st. It was like, because it's just neat. It's cool to see people's families dressed up in fun stuff. And it's cool to see my friends dressed up in fun stuff. Like they're still having fun in their old adult life. You know what I mean? And so that was cool. But in our own community, there's something called Boo-Palooza. And so we want to just talk a little bit about just kind of the fun stuff happening where people were being kind and reaching out to other people. And Boo-Palooza was something that the city of Farmington put on in downtown Farmington, where all of those businesses open up their doors to trick-or-treaters. And these are all rumors, what I'm about to say, because I don't have facts. But I know that the line was super long, but it's because people show up, because it's a safe way for kids to trick or treat. They shut down those streets, and so it's safe, and they know that they're gonna, you know, kids are gonna get kind of welcomed with smiles, and nobody's gonna get turned away. Also, this is rumor too, but I think that there was like 4,000 people or something like that. I don't know for sure. I feel like I saw that number somewhere, and we just can't find it anywhere.
The amount of candy that was given out.
Yeah, I think it was, there had to have been more amount of candy, but 4,000 people maybe showed up. Do you think that sounds right?
Sure.
I don't know.
I don't know.
A lot of people showed up.
Yeah.
People are listening to this like, you're an idiot, Brandy.
But it's cool because, like, they host a costume contest, and this event, I think, has been going for a couple of years, so they're able to build it and make it better every year, and it's just really cool because all the different departments in the city kind of come together and make sure it happens. It's a powerful force when organized properly, can be really productive.
Yeah. And it's neat because I'm looking at their Facebook event and they're talking about which store is going to have a haunted house and which store is going to have a local celebrity Chevelle Shepherd. Yeah, she's been all over town. That's a whole nother topic for us to cover another time. But, here's a sweet young person who is on a national singing show. And let me tell you, like, side note, she's seriously the very most genuinely sweet, kind, teenager, I feel like. There's lots of teenagers who are really genuinely sweet and kind. But here's one who has just kind of been blasted to the forefront. She's become a local celebrity very, very quickly. And people were probably going to this particular store during Boopalooza so that they could take a picture with her, which is really cool. And then just even, in neighborhoods, I know that there's a lot of people who they know which neighborhood to go to that's going to have the most open doors. It's going to hand out candy. And so they take their kids and their family and they go through these neighborhoods. Me and my sister, both of my sisters took my nephew to the neighborhood that we grew up in when we were small children. And also my Nana still lives in that neighborhood. And so that's where we went trick-or-treating. And people legit didn't recognize us. And it's cool to go back and go, hey, Mr. Boyd, or hey, Gary, hey, Linda, or whatever. And they're just like, who are you again? And we're like, oh. And so it's just cool to be able to go back to those communities and see people who, knew us when we were really small kids and see us still every once in a while. But this time, I was dressed up as a cat and my sister Alex was a Care Bear. Like, it's just fun.
Yeah.
So communities, though, are really cool, especially during the holidays. And I think, just a little pump for Farmington. I think Farmington does a great job at welcoming other folks of people during the holidays.
Absolutely.
This week's guest is a really cool lady from Piedra Vista High School. She's one of Haley's really close friends. And this is a conversation that Haley's been having with her for a really long time to try to get her on the podcast because she has been 100% just overwhelmed with anxiety when she thinks about coming on. And so it's been a conversation literally from one of the very first moments that we started recording, and it finally happened. And so we're excited for you to hear Jen's story. She has some really inspiring moments that she shares with you. And so I hope that you are inspired, and maybe this is one that you send to somebody else because they are going through or have went through something very similar to what she's experienced. So here is our very good friend, Jen Caliendo. Hey, everybody. This is my friend Jen, and I'm really excited to have her here. We've been talking about Jen being on the podcast for a really long time, and here you are, and it's kind of been a huge buildup for you to be here talking about this stuff. And so, first off, just introduce yourself, and if you will tell everybody, we literally had to do math to figure out how old she is.
I'm Jennifer Caliendo, and I am 36 years old. Thanks for the math.
She was like, am I 37? And I was like, dude, you're 35. And then we did the math, and she's 36. So that's not a lie. She's 36. And so the cool thing, Jen, is that you grew up in Hobbs, which is south of Farmington?
Oh, way south, in the exact opposite armpit of New Mexico.
So southern. Real close to Texas, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. What part of Texas is it close to?
So I was right in between Lubbock, Texas and Midland, Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Near Seminole, right?
Yes.
Seminole, Texas. Mm-hmm. I have some friends who are in Seminole. Mm-hmm. They're not really friends. They're students that I, was their leader at a camp. So it's cool, though. They're good kids. So share just some of your experiences as a kid growing up in Hobbs. What was that like?
I didn't like being a kid. I don't have a whole lot to say about being a kid.
Yeah.
I had really great parents. I grew up in 1954, even though it was really 1994.
Yeah.
I didn't like being a kid.
And so you didn't like being around other kids, or you didn't like the, like, playing with other kids? Like, what about it that was just awful?
When I say 1954, I really lived on a street where Kick the Can was happening. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I just felt too big.
Okay. So if you could go back into your childhood again, what do you think your childhood could have looked like that you would have enjoyed it as?
My 30s.
Okay. So yeah. Just like having fun with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
but being able to be in control of that, okay. Being able to make my own choices.
Cool.
That type of thing.
Okay. So how old were you whenever you moved out of Hobbs and to Farmington?
I was 16.
Why did you guys move?
My dad. It was a transfer. He works in oil field.
Okay. Cool. So you're 16, which is like the heart of all of the teenage angst and kind of awfulness, right? Mm-hmm. And you're plucked from your little tiny town of Hobbs, mm-hmm. That you didn't love, obviously. Did you miss friends? Like, what was...
Absolutely. I mean, I did. It wasn't a bad experience. I think I just have this control thing, and mm-hmm. I like being in control. And when you're 15, 16, being plucked, mm-hmm. That's not fun.
Yeah.
I had a longtime boyfriend, and I had great friends. I did ballet lessons at a great little company that is still there mm-hmm. in Hobbs. So there was nothing bad. It just wasn't my jam.
Yeah. And you have a baby sister, right?
I do.
So how what's the age difference between you guys?
12 years.
Okay. It's me and my baby sister are 12 years too.
That's cute.
So when you were like 15, 16, did you take her to the store? Because you could drive. Did you ever take her places and people thought she was your kid?
She was always, it was my longtime boyfriend. Uh-huh. And we took her everywhere yeah. we could take her. Like, she was our first baby.
Yeah, and you guys are still really close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. That's how it is with my sister, too. I mm-hmm. took her everywhere, and I tried so hard. Like, I moved away, and when I moved away, I was like, I have to stay as connected with this little girl as possible mm-hmm. because I just want to be close with her always. Mm-hmm. And so I worked really hard on that, so...
It's pretty easy to stay connected with her. I mean, even though our lives have nothing in common, but she'll just always be my baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know we had that in common.
That's super cool.
I know, yeah.
It's kind of rare.
And she's a good kid, too. Mm-hmm. I've met her, mm-hmm. Like, from a distance. She was chatting with Haley, and I was just kind of like, oh, hey, and I was doing something. But she's a good person.
She's beautiful.
Yes.
And, like, so well-spoken, and just we're proud
and
of her.
Super smart. Mm-hmm, all of those smart. Things. Mm-hmm. Cool. And you, okay, so now I'm just going to give you a compliment. Like, you, I feel like I take a little bit of pride in the fact that my sister's witty and she's clever and, you know, she's smart and she has a good head on her shoulders. Like, I have a little bit of, you know, like a attitude about how much I was involved in that. And so hopefully you do too.
I absolutely do.
Cool. Like, okay, so you and your boyfriend, you break up. No, you didn't break up.
We didn't break up. We tried, like, I wanted to break up, and he did not. We're 16-year-old kids.
Yeah, why?
I was college bound. We're going to move 500 miles away from each other. This
yeah.
is not going to work. But the interesting piece is on the day that we moved, I was a week pregnant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That changes a lot of things.
Yeah, I hadn't even missed my period mm-hmm. yet.
So, did you know?
No, I hadn't missed my period.
Okay. So what happens after you move with that?
Well, then I, of course, tell him right away. Mm-hmm. And then he's super supportive. He makes trips to Farmington probably about once a month. I refused to tell my parents until I was about 4 months pregnant, mm-hmm. at which point Chris is still making visits up. And he's a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved for him to have moved up and was pretty angry that he did not move up because
yeah.
he was supposed to be that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But as you grow older, you realize like, he's a senior. He's got 6 months left
yeah.
of high school. Give mm-hmm. the kid a break. And so he graduated high school. And then at the end of the summer, as I started my senior year, he moved to Farmington.
Okay. So then now you guys are in the same place and – So tell me about that experience of being, because you're 16, so you're a sophomore?
I was starting my junior year when I moved here.
Okay.
And so I had my son in the spring of my junior year, and then my husband moved on the first day of my senior year.
Okay. So what does that look like for you?
I don't even know if I have words. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just... I mean, it just was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was a 17-year-old girl. And so then those fantasies start flying of mm-hmm. how this is how it's going to be. And that's not how it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys, did he live, move in with your parents? Or did you guys get your own place?
Just for a couple of months. I think mm-hmm. it was like even just like a 6 weeks mm-hmm. until he was able to find low-income housing across town. And then he moved into his apartment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you stayed with your parents.
Yes.
Did you? So you had your baby, mm-hmm. Your son,
mm-hmm.
and did so you and your son lived with your parents?
That's correct.
Okay. So how was it for you to be in high school and be a teen mom? What was that like?
It just was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was my life.
Were you still dancing?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
So, did it change, like, your friends? Did it change the way you hung out with your friends? That kind of stuff.
Well, I moved here, and I didn't have any friends.
Okay.
So, I had to get a job. This was always real interesting to me, how things always work out, how they're supposed to. The first month of school, I was in a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were trying to find me a dance studio. I got in this car wreck, and my dad's like, well, you need to go get a job to go and pay for the truck that you just demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank God I got in the wreck, so I had a job when I told them I was pregnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did they respond to that?
Fine. They're, like, they're good people.
Yeah.
Like, silence, and then I leave the room, and my favorite piece of that story is how my dad said to my mom, like, we can't, this is like a big deal. She's having a human.
Mm-hmm.
And how we respond and how we react to it right now is what she'll always remember.
Mm-hmm.
So they were fine.
Like, yeah.
But remember I said it was 1954 in my household.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it really wasn't fine on some days.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it like after you went to Piedra Vista?
I went to Piedra Vista.
So there was a smaller school.
Yes.
And that was all super intentional, right?
Yes. It was something that my dad encouraged. It was something that he promoted, that I could be first graduating class if I chose to go to Piedra Vista, because we lived in FHS district.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller class, so I wouldn't be so intimidated in a school of 2,000, I think FHS was at that point.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like that was the better choice?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're the first graduating class, yes. And you have a 1-year-old when you graduate?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me what that was like.
It just was. again, where my parents were very, very hard on me. I had to work the morning of graduation. I went and picked my son up from daycare.
Mm-hmm.
We changed in the car, and then we drove to Ricketts. I paced waiting for my parents to get there on time, because we all run late.
Mm-hmm.
And had to hand him over to my parents so I could join the ceremony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool and scary and huge.
I don't know. I was never afraid.
Yeah.
It's the most bizarre thing. I'm probably the worst teenage advocate ever because I had no fear.
Yeah.
It was the fun part about being young that...
And do you think that your experience would have been different if you... had been if you were still in Hobbs, do you think it would have been different?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would have had those friends and seen how our relationships changed.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, I had no friend except maybe for my baby,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody in a PV, I don't know how much my graduating class will appreciate this, but we were like the land of the misfits. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to go to PV. Everybody wanted to go to FHS.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
And so
It was a big deal.
Yeah. It was a big deal. Yeah. And so to be in a world of misfits, mm-hmm. I fit right in. Mm-hmm. Everybody was incredibly kind. Yeah. I don't have any horror stories to tell you.
That's cool.
Super.
Yeah. So are you still friends with some of the people you went to high school with?
My very, very best friend, Jennifer Jones. Uh-huh. We graduated at PV together.
Does she still live in Farmington?
Mm-hmm. She actually lives around the corner. I was all excited with my GPS. I'm like, y'all live in my hood. Yeah. No, she's my dearest.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, and so she kind of had your back then.
A little bit. She was just a goofball. It's just in her nature to take care of people who mm-hmm. need to be taken care of.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So what happens after high school?
Then I turned into a hot mess.
Okay.
I was just dying for my husband to marry me. Mm-hmm. And then he was heartbroken from being pulled away 500 miles from his family. Mm-hmm. That then I decided that acting out would be the best way to get his attention. Mm-hmm. I moved into his apartment. It was shortly after the 4th of July, and was going to cook and clean and create this amazing life mm-hmm. that he had no real interest in.
Yeah.
So that was pretty heartbreaking. I was college bound. I had every intention of going into education and going to college mm-hmm. for that. But I had made choices to have a child, and working two jobs was not conducive
yeah.
to that.
Was there ever a point where you were a single mom, or did you always have are you married to Drew's dad?
I am.
Okay. I didn't know that. I was mm-hmm. like, how do I ask this question?
Just ask.
So at this point, looking back on it, what are his thoughts and feelings? And now I'm asking you to speak for him, but just, you know, kind of in a roundabout way.
He would say that I'm being silly, mm-hmm. that we were always, you know, that yes, his heart was broken and he missed his family, but that he knew that we would always get to where we're at now.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Did he go back? Do you guys go back to Hobbs a lot?
So we used to, tons, especially when Drew was little. I mean, Chris had to come and be a man mm-hmm. in Farmington. Of course, that's oil fill.
Yeah.
So you get 2 weeks off a year, and both of those 2 weeks off were always spent in Hobbs. Mm-hmm. I still had family there. Our nanas lived across the street from one another, so I'd always get to go have slumber parties at my nana's, and then we could just stroll across the street and see mm-hmm. his grandma. So good memories
cool.
of that happening.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So when did you start college? Eventually you started college. You don't have a degree?
I don't.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And you're super successful now. So that is kind of cool.
It's just hard work.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. But it is, right? What you keep saying, it's just how it was.
Yes.
Right?
And right.
It's just how it was.
Right.
So, okay. So you're teen mom, and you and I talked a little bit about kind of all of your struggles just throughout being a teenager and then into your 20s and all of that, like with your weight and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that having a baby, because your body changes and all of those things. Do you want to talk a little bit about kind of just your struggle as a teenager with your weight and then into your 20s and stuff?
I think that I always had, back to like not liking being a child, mm-hmm. I always viewed myself differently than I think I was. Mm-hmm. Not being pretty enough, not being thin enough, but I don't know what young girl doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure that there's some, but that's just what my struggle was.
Yeah.
And being a dancer, mm-hmm. I was never as thin as the other girls, just early on.
Yeah. So was being pregnant something that was really hard for you in that way?
No, I think being a dancer and being super fit, then I got to kind of eat whatever I wanted. That kid ruined my boobs and gave me one stretch mark on my belly button.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, being pregnant didn't do anything for my body.
Okay. Cool. So what were your struggles with your weight throughout the years?
I think that my physical appearance was like my self-worth.
Okay.
Like, you're supposed to be cute and thin and all these things all those other girls are.
Mm-hmm.
And not being able to really define my self-worth,
mm-hmm.
then it became the struggle.
Yeah. So in your dieting and things like that, what does that journey look like for you?
So being in high school and starving myself,
mm-hmm.
Andrew probably like saved my life getting pregnant at 16.
Yeah.
Then you don't get to starve yourself anymore.
Yeah.
Then going through the changes of that, my husband was really, he was raised very religiously,
mm-hmm.
so birth control was not something that we were ever on, except for that first year after Andrew's birth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the baby weight just fell off when you get off the birth control.
Yeah.
But then life, making poor choices, mm-hmm. lots of too much beer.
Mm-hmm.
Then not being active,
mm-hmm.
you know, then you just gradually gain, I guess, what normal moms would gain, eating Andrew's lunch that he didn't finish as well as trying to eat my lunch.
Yeah.
So then I had gained probably about 50 pounds after I had lost all the baby weight,
mm-hmm.
and just not being very, not understanding where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did Atkins,
mm-hmm.
and lost those 50 pounds quick, which put me back down to a cool 100 pounds, which when you're on a strict diet like that and you're not nourishing your body, you immediately gain that and then more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in Atkins too, it messes with your mind a little bit because your body needs sugars to
and
function.
Carbs. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Like, there's nothing wrong with a potato.
Uh-huh.
Eat that potato.
Yeah, really. Because your brain, I mean, like, that's brain food eventually. Mm-hmm. And so I've talked to somebody who did Atkins. He was actually my baseball coach from a long, long time ago. He did Atkins. And when he stopped, he was like, I could feel my brain function increase. Like, over just a couple of weeks, I was like, whoa, I was thinking clearer, and I was, you know, all of those things. Is that something that you experienced, was, like, just your brain function?
At that point, I was a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
It was probably helping my brain function by counting my carbs.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me a hobby. It gave mm-hmm. me something to do. It gave me a purpose.
Yeah. Cool. So you get down on the weight and then you are like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to start eating again. And you go back to the habits that you were on before. And so you gain it all back.
Absolutely.
And then some.
And then some.
And then what happens next?
So then I got my part-time job at McKinley Elementary.
Mm-hmm. So this is your first job in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How old were you?
22.
Okay.
That's why I was confused about my age, because since I was 22, I've been telling people I was 30.
Why?
Well, because I didn't have any really discomfort about being a teenage mom until I started taking my kid to kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, "Who? Like, are you 12? And you then that there's some discomfort,
yeah.
about, you know, I have 30-year-old women who are mothers to the kid in my class, and I'm 22.
Uh-huh.
So, nope, I'm almost 30.
Yeah.
And
I understand that adaptation, though. It's survival, almost. You know, and survival, too, for Drew, because then other kids, you know, are like, I heard my mom say blah, blah, blah about Drew's mom. And that's really awful. So I feel like this is just a survival tactic.
I have to agree.
Yeah.
But we didn't, like, really, we didn't experience any of that. All of those women were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and I were married by that point when we started kindergarten with Drew.
Yeah.
And things had really stabled out.
Yeah.
So it was nice to find, it was a part-time job in the front office of McKinley Elementary, working 10 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a stay-at-home mom, it was
perfect. It's primo.
Oh, isn't it? Like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, so 22, you start in the school system. And are you, what happens with your weight? Because I know that there's more to this story.
Well, then life just resumes, and I gain that 50 pounds back. And in an effort to where I still can't find what's quality in me, well, then we need to do it again. And so then we try these magic pills, Ally. I stayed on them way too long. I think the prescribed amount was supposed to be like 6 weeks, and I did it for I did them for a year.
Wow. How much did you lose on that?
50 pounds.
Wow. So you're back down to 100.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
That's crazy. How did you feel on that?
No, that was the horrible piece. I felt fine. I introduced myself to the gym at that point, still trying to find, and I was going to the gym probably about 15 hours a week.
Wow.
So that was a bad addiction too, because you can't just stop the gym when you're going that much. I know that you're curious about the Ally pills. If you've ever researched them or know anything about them, and this must have been in like 2006.
Yeah. So, I remember them when I was like pretty fresh out of high school.
So God willing, they're off the market. Because, yeah, like one of the warning signs is pancreatitis, and then, you, poop orange oil, like not too very solid. It sucks all the fat out of you, and then that's what you digest.
And that's how you're getting rid of it. Yeah. Did it feel icky?
No. I was never bulimic in all of my weight. My weight issues, but I'm sure that it would have felt the same.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
So once you stopped taking those pills after a year, then did you start, and were you still going to the gym, or did you just stop everything?
Yeah, then it just all falls apart at the same time.
So then you gain it all back.
And 30 more.
Yeah. So, okay, so where are you at in the school systems now?
I am applying to Piedra Vista as the attendance liaison.
Okay.
As that's, my weight is falling apart again.
How did you function, and how did you figure out that this was an addiction and this was something that you needed to get under control, and now you're at this place?
At that point, I wasn't there. It was just another... I mean, maybe that's another... I wanted to leave McKinley, I think, because it was only part-time. There was no really further growing there for me at that time. And I wanted to grow. I was still continuing to try to figure out who I was and where I was supposed to be. First graduating class of Piedra Vista, and there's an attendance liaison position open.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'm going to hit that up. But that's where I was at, still trying to figure out. It was nothing new, the 50 pounds up and down and all around. So I don't remember there being an emotional thing about that, but I do remember thinking, Andrew's leaving McKinley. Here's this opportunity at PV. I think I'm going to go for it.
Cool. And you, I mean, from just the conversations that we've had with it, you really loved your time as the attendance liaison.
I was only the attendance liaison for 6 months. For one semester.
And then where'd you go?
Then the attendance secretary job
opened up. That's what I was thinking it was.
And so yet a very hard time of two new jobs in 1 year. That wasn't fun. The attendance secretary job was the leader of that office. So I had no leader. The attendance liaison job wasn't filled for another 2 months. So I was the only one in that office trying to figure out what was expected of me.
But you're a control person. And so I feel like you functioned and eventually thrived.
Absolutely.
In that environment.
Yes.
And how long were you the attendance secretary?
I think for about 6 years.
Okay. And then just in the last 3 years, you've moved into the secretary for the athletic department.
Yes.
And tell us about that.
It's pretty fun.
What are some of the things that you miss? So you're in this new position, but I know that there's things about the attendance secretary that you really loved. And so what are some of the things that you miss about that position?
So after the attendance liaison position opened, then I called one of my friends from McKinley and asked her to move into it. Mm-hmm. I really miss the teamwork. I miss having like a partner in crime. Mm-hmm. In the attendance office, I was the kids' secretary and the disciplinary secretary. I really miss the kids who needed me and mm-hmm. seeing those kids on the daily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something really, I don't know, special or just, it takes a special person to be able to communicate effectively to a student who despises authority, and especially a student who's consistently in the position where they are getting in trouble by authority. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, it takes a really special, a special communicator and a special person to be able to reach those kids. And I feel like that's what you're telling me. Like, that's something that you are good at.
I was that kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were that kid. So you know what it's like to be the kid that everybody's like, brah, 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 you make our school look bad, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're like, listen,
no,
like,
you really
actually,
don't.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. You're like, not that bad.
Can we not do this here?
Right.
You know, do you need help outside of here?
Yeah.
Those types of things.
So that's the part of it that you miss mm-hmm. is your day-to-day just sort of interactions with those kids.
Yes.
With just that particular type of kid. And so now in the athletic department, what do you love about being in the athletic department?
Obviously, like, my whole life, I just want to grow. Mm-hmm. And so to change jobs and to find a different purpose has been super fun. The activities and the games, and those are special kids too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably with way different needs mm-hmm. than I'm used to, but still with needs.
Yeah.
I like where I was just missing having a team. I really love having like my own office, my mm-hmm. own space, managed just my way.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
So what is Drew doing now?
So Drew is at home.
Uh-huh.
He spent last year at the NMJC, did not enjoy it, mm-hmm. does not know what he wants to be when he grows up.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was 19.
Yeah.
He asked me what I was doing when I was 19.
Yeah. So he's just figuring it out. But you guys still have a really special relationship.
He's just a neat human.
Mm-hmm.
I was a mess of a kid. I hated authority. And I started setting expectations for my child and thought maybe I should start living up to those expectations too.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped develop me.
Yeah.
He helped develop me.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Does he know that?
I don't know. I think I'm just his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like that stick in the mud.
Yeah. Do you think that that's something that you and Chris will share with him when he gets older or whenever he has a family? Like, what are your ideas around really just kind of laying out those tough moments with him? Like, where do you stand in that?
Letting him do it. I don't mm-hmm. think there's anything to lay out. I think he was there for those tough moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there were that many of those tough moments.
Yeah.
I think that our life has been super easy breezy. His life has been easy.
Yeah.
He's going to have some hard moments ahead, but once he has that first baby, then I won't have to tell him anything
mm-hmm.
or share anything with him because he'll get to experience it on his own.
Yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really, I like that. I like that outlook and this, that sort of, that goal and that set mindset, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Like, and we were never dishonest with him.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he was a product of a teenage pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he understood that, he didn't understand what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
You're my mom.
Yeah.
You're my dad.
Yeah, for sure. So now in 2018, you're fit and you're healthy. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that at all? Like, sort of where that journey has brought you to today?
I still think it's just more of the same. I think I just hit a spot 5 years ago where I was super burnt out. I mm-hmm. needed to change. I needed to grow. And, yeah, before I even tried to lose a pound, I had to work on those things that what's on the outside isn't my qualities. Mm-hmm. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
I was tired. I remember sleeping in the car at a doubleheader in Albuquerque in between games. And my friends are like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm fat. I'm tired. Like, I need a nap." Uh-huh. And I knew that that's not the lifestyle I wanted to live. So I practiced for a good long while before I started dieting about how I was a good mom. Mm-hmm. I tried really hard to be a good wife. I was a hard worker. I focused on those things. And then, so once I started losing weight about 5 years ago, then the fun began. Mm-hmm. And, counting steps with my very best friend, who I worked with in the office, that was like a game. Mm-hmm. And then us meeting at Country Club at 5 o'clock in the morning so we could yap our jaws. Mm-hmm. That was really fun. And then it just grew to, like, where I'm hiking and, you know, I'm active. And so when I do have grandbabies, I'll get to play with them way harder than mm-hmm. I did with my kid.
So what do you think the difference is in your mindset now as opposed to where it was at in the past?
Just that my outside is nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's more on the inside.
Absolutely.
The stuff that you've worked more on today as 36-year-old Jen has been more about the inside than the outside.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, you know, just before we started recording, one of the conversations we were having was about your new job and just kind of some of the tough moments in it. And we had a baby conversation about, well, do you think it's like that because of your own reflection of your self-worth? Or do you think it's, or are you being really hard on yourself? And you're like, it's just hard, Brandy.
it is just hard. My self-worth, that's why I'm doing the good there. Mm-hmm. Because I am capable. And, you know, when it is hard, you can't follow in somebody's footsteps mm-hmm. unless you believe you can.
Yeah. And you believe that you can, mm-hmm. right? So in this new position, that's sort of what you came into, was kind of filling a really special person's mm-hmm. shoes. And I think that you've done that. And you haven't filled her shoes, but you have taken that position and you have put your own personality into it and put your own organizational skills and all those things. I mean, you're still learning and you're mm-hmm. still trying to figure it out. And so what are your goals in that?
To get really good at it, mm-hmm. like to continue focusing. It is hard. It is a lot. It's a big job. But until I'll never fill her shoes.
Sure.
But to change it and make it my own, mm-hmm. To know that I am the quality person who's willing to take on such a challenge mm-hmm. and do it with my head held high.
Yeah. And I think that has to be what the administrator saw in you to even offer you that position. They know that you're a control person and that you could do it. And that's where they were like, Jen Caliendo, right? I mean, you have to know that that's true.
It was, I believe, what was best for Piedra Vista.
See, this is where I don't think that you're giving yourself enough credit.
It's good. I am.
Okay.
When I'm killing it, when I'm rocking it.
Okay. We'll come back to this conversation.
We will,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you let me know when, because, like, I'm ready.
This has been super fun.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, and so another, you know, part of our conversation just this morning, you were like, Brandy, I don't talk about myself, especially to people that I don't know. And so I know that you're getting really vulnerable. And also, you haven't cried one single time. I'd like to point that out. Because that was another fear.
I cried on the phone this morning with you.
You did a little. You did. And I was like, oh, great. I'm going to ball through this whole dang interview. But you've, one of the things that you and I talked a lot about was how this is a conversation that, you know, first of all, this platform is about sharing your story and sharing your experience. That's why we do this, is because everybody has a story and everybody has an experience. And some people don't even realize that they have a story. And that's one of the things that, like, months ago, we were having that conversation with you, and you were like, I don't have a story. I didn't know that you were a teen mom, number one. I didn't know that you had been in the school system since you were 22. Like, I didn't know those things about you, period. I just knew that you're one of Haley's good friends, and, you know, that you're a special person, and that people really love you. I mean, I knew those things, you know what I mean? And I could see those things in you, too, without knowing all of this personal stuff. So eventually we talk you into getting vulnerable and sharing your story. And so looking back on it, like, you, one of the things that, like, I feel like you have to hear is that you are inspiring teenagers, and you're in a different role. You're like, you're not seeing the naughty kids. Some of those kids are still naughty, but it's not the same kids that you were seeing, you know, 3 years ago. But also, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the athletic department, and that stuff comes through you eventually, and you are affecting those kids, I think, more than you realize. And even students who are teen parents, that's a big deal, you know? And I know students personally who are teen mom, or, you know, who are teen parents, and they were like, I can't go to a big school, because PV is considered a big school now. Absolutely. And so is Farmington High. Mm-hmm. And so your story is very similar to their story. They had to move to Rosinante. They had to move to CYB or Vista Nueva or whatever, because those are smaller communities where it wasn't going to be as big of a deal. And so I think that you are more of an influence, and you're more inspiring, again, than you are giving yourself credit for. Because people don't really know that about you.
No.
You know?
I do love to talk about myself. That's something that Bassing failed to mention to you, and why she thought that I'd be great for the podcast. Because I do. But it's the promoting of myself, mm-hmm. That's not in my nature.
Yeah.
To talk to strangers, I have no idea who's going to hear this.
Yeah.
But when I'm sitting with my friends.
Well, we don't know who hears this either, so to be totally honest, we have no idea.
Well, I think it's fun. I think it's a great program. I'm so glad that y'all talked me into doing it.
Yeah.
I came today as an exercise, mm-hmm. for me to be in an uncomfortable situation and maybe try to grow from it.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is going to have to be a recap, because I want to know if it's something that you look back on and you're like, okay, I'm really glad I did that. Or you're like, oh my gosh, I sounded so crazy. Like, what, you know, that's going to be something that
I bet you can talk me into a recap.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Okay.
It was fun. It was super relaxed. I was with my friends.
Yeah. Thank you. What this is about is, I mean, hopefully we gave you a place to tell your story and to share your experience. And so, I mean, that really just leads into that last question, is there anything else that you want to share with who knows who's listening out there? Like,
I do have one thing to add. So I was gym. I started as gym master, mm-hmm. for this school year.
Okay.
And then Pam Edwards, the SAS counselor, came and asked me to help join Natural Leaders.
Good.
Right?
Yes.
I was so stoked.
So you go there. So you go once a month, right?
We've only done it the once.
Okay.
And it's Pam's new baby. Uh-huh. And then I can help her, because of what I do all day,
yeah.
guide her and lead her to make sure that she's doing what a sponsor should be doing, mm-hmm. from the athletic office. And then together, she and I get to go and hang out with 18 natural leaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those students are identified, just going back to, like, that thing that you're good at, which is hard kids. Sometimes those students are identified as kids who other students look at and want to follow, and they're not doing very good things. And so teachers are like, okay, how can we direct this kid into a better whatever? And so sometimes those students get filtered into you, and you get to like mold their little brains and shape them.
This process was even cooler. Mm-hmm. Pam Edwards sent out surveys to the students, mm-hmm. saying, who do you count on? Mm-hmm. She didn't go to staff.
Cool.
She went without the kids knowing, who do you go to? Mm-hmm. And then she sat on an entire weekend and tallied up all their names.
It's cool.
And that's why it's a natural leader.
Yeah.
Because their peers pick them, mm-hmm. without knowing it.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you're looking forward to now?
So pumped.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Do you have another meeting and do other stuff spring semester?
I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. I just jumped into it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. It's the best way. Mm-hmm.
And so we had our very first conference last Friday.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I'm really excited. That's another recap story, I feel like, coming soon.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you, Jen, so much for coming and being vulnerable and not crying.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations for not crying. This has been another episode of Small Town Expectations. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.